Welcome to the C3 Church Podcast. Stay tuned for this week's message.
So we're starting a new series tonight, today, Shake, Rattle and Roll. Tonight is Shake. Next weekend is Rattle. And you'll be rattled. We have the privilege, as you saw in the ad, of having Dr. Robbie. Dr. Robbie, for those of you who don't know, is a world-renowned clinical psychologist and great man of God. And he travels the world preaching on psychology, but from a biblical perspective, and how to set people free. It is an honor to have him. Please do not miss next Sunday night. Bring your friends, bring your family. He is a world-class communicator of the Word of God, but with his background. And he'll have all sorts of interesting medical facts and talk about stuff, but incorporate it with the Word of God, which is great. He is traveling specifically for us. He's flying as we speak. He arrives at 6 a.m. tomorrow morning. He is flying as we speak. And he is coming from Sweden. To come and speak to us. He's an Aussie guy, but he's living in Sweden right now. So that's next Sunday night. Everybody say next Sunday night. Okay, so tonight we're talking about shake your way to an anxiety-free life. Anxiety is real. Anxiety, unfortunately, is a growing phenomena. I think we should have a goal. As raw effects as setting a goal to see youth suicide absolutely removed. Who thinks that's a great goal? I think we should see a removal and a reduction of anxiety. Because if we bring God answers into people's lives, then we should be living a peaceful life, not an anxious life. In fact, Glenn Grine yesterday sent me a couple of stats. He said that by 2030, which may seem like a long way off, but it's really not, by 2030, depression and anxiety will be the major cause of death in Australian society. How wild is that? And he also said to me, and let me know, that in every year 12 class in Australia, I found this stat frightening, in every year 12 class in Australia, someone this year has attempted suicide. So I think it's time that we begin to release the answers of heaven and get them in our own lives. Because sometimes as believers, we can know the truth and live for Christ, but not necessarily know how to get out of these types of parts of our world that we all suffer with, by the way, which is anxiety. Anxiety can be caused by all sorts of things, ongoing stressful events. I love when a stressful event is coming and I get to the other side of it. That's got to be the greatest feeling. E.g., HSC. HSC has got to be one of the most stressful events. And believe it or not, I know I'm a lot older than most of you. I did the HSC myself. It was invented back then. 1975, I did the HSC. And I remember being very stressed about that and worried about it. And the feeling of finishing that last exam. I think I ran out of that exam. And, you know, it's the greatest summer of your life is the summer after year 12. So I'm believing God for all your HSC students. Let me just say this to you. There is life after the HSC. And don't get too stressed out. Life is not dependent on those set of exams. You've got a life. You've got a calling. You've got a destiny. And you're a great person. So go for it. Don't be too stressed out. Physical health problems, or the fear of them, can produce anxiety. Substance abuse. If you put the wrong stuff in your body, drugs, alcohol, this stuff, if you get it in your system, and it can actually cause your physical and emotional frame to respond with anxiety and stress. Other things, personality factors can contribute to having anxiety issues. Some people are more prone to it than others. Those of you who like to control your life, to attempt to have it in control at least, those of you who are more perfectionist than others can tend to be more that way inclined than others. Those of you who can care less about anything, anytime, anywhere, usually the most unstressed people, and there are some of you here tonight. There are different types of anxiety. There's this thing called GAD, Generalized Anxiety Disorder, which is basically if too many stressful situations accumulate for too long and none of them get resolved, then often people just end up, they live their whole life stressed and anxious. There's social phobias where people are absolutely petrified of rejection, criticism, groups of people, and so they avoid social situations. It becomes an anxiety. It becomes a way they live, and they guide their life around situations instead of right through them. There's specific phobias. People are specifically afraid of certain things. Flying, for instance. I prayed for someone this morning who's about to go on a flight, long flight, and is terrified. So we prayed together and believed God for that. Injections, some people are afraid of injections. I am one of those people who do not like injections. Just the thought of it makes my knees go a little funny, and it's okay. Am I okay? One of the now funny, but at the time extremely unfunny moments was when we were having our second child, Amy. By the way, I want to share some great news. We have two grandchildren, and we just found out we have got a third grandchild on the way. And many of you don't know our middle daughter, Amy. Her and her husband, Amy, our daughter's an architect, and her husband's a photographer. They live in New York as well, and they're having a baby on Australia Day, which is awesome. So that's very exciting news. But anyway, when Amy was being born, Bernie, of course, was delivering Amy by cesarean section, went in there, And because I knew my fear of needles and all that sort of stuff, as they were putting, they're going to put an epidural in her back, which is an injection in the spine to numb from the waist down so she could have the operation. They were putting a cannula in her arm. And I thought to myself, I'll ease my way in, because I had to go and watch, I was going to watch the birth. And I just signed a form saying if for any reason, any time I was asked to leave the theater, I had to. So I thought to myself, I'll just ease my way in and I'll watch the cannula going in the arm as a way of getting ready for the next stage and so on. You know. And I was holding Bernie's hand. She was on a stretcher. I was holding her hand. They hardly even got the cannula to the flesh when I fainted. The problem is, there are a couple of problems. That's bad enough. The problem is I didn't let go of her hand and I literally pulled her half off the table. And on the way down, behind me was a brick wall. I hit my head on the brick wall and knocked myself out at the same time. I don't even know whether that's even medically possible, but I fainted and knocked myself out at the same time. And then the doctor was screaming out, "We have a father down. We have a father down." Who's ever seen "So I Married an X-Man"? Anyway, okay. We have a paper down. Anyway, so... And because I just signed that form, my subconscious must have kicked in, hit the ground, bounced straight back up again, and said, "I'm okay, I'm okay, I'm okay." Then I fainted again. Anyway, that's my experience. I am number three, specific phobia. There's obsessive compulsive disorders, which people, because when people feel like their life is out of control, they form behaviors and rituals to attempt to to have some sort of control over something in their life. So they get obsessed with ritualistic and repetitive behaviors. That's where OCD comes from. And I understand that. I know people, and it's a very common thing. Another one is post-traumatic stress, where people go through trauma, a loss, a war, something traumatic, and their body can't cope, or their emotions can't cope. End up not being able to sleep. There's all these things. These are diagnosed. In Australia, there are 3 million people with anxiety disorders. Now, 3 million. That's with diagnosed disorders. There's 1 in 4 Australians will experience it. And it's 1 in 3 ladies and 1 in 5 guys. I'm quite sure why that's the case. That's just the way it is, apparently. So here's the deal. I tonight want to give us some God answers to this very big issue of stress and anxiety in our world. Who would like to hear them? Anyone? And can I just say this? I think if we lay foundations of God answers, then get that right, it will probably solve most of the issue. Let me rephrase that. It will definitely solve the issue. Now, if other things are required, and I'm cool with that. I mean, there are other things that the world has to offer, counseling, therapy, And in some cases, because of certain situations, then medication is required. I understand that. That's all part of life. And if those things are needed, then I think we should work together to accomplish the best outcome for everyone. But I don't want those things to be an alternative to the real answers. That is the foundational answers that if you get the platform right, you can then add to that as well. So we're all together on the same page. So I think it's important we understand these things. I want to bring to us so that we, all of us as a church, have biblical understanding of things. And tonight I'm going to give you four answers or four things that I believe can help us as we face and struggle with anxiety at certain points. But before I do that, I want to lay a foundation of biblical freedom. Everybody say freedom. Freedom is the gospel. The gospel cannot be defined with any other word other than freedom. Galatians 5:1 says this, it is for freedom that Christ set you free. How awesome is that? I love that scripture because it's Paul talking to the Galatian church, and they'd received freedom and then embraced something else and lost their freedom. So Paul was swinging the church back to the original basis of the message. He said, guys, Jesus came to set you free. So don't just get freedom, stay free. Jesus, in Luke 4:18, quoted Isaiah 61, verse 1, where he said, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, for the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, or let me just rephrase that, to heal broken people. I don't know about you. Sometimes you feel broken. Guess what? Jesus came. This is the declaration of his message. He said, I came to heal you. If you're brokenhearted, for whatever reason, whether it's a breakup of a relationship, whether it's some disappointment in a parent, whether it's just the way you're feeling, Jesus came to heal you of that brokenheartedness, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners. That's awesome. And it goes on. Next verse, verse 3. And provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, oil of joy instead of mourning, and garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. Okay. What is that? I call this Jesus replacement therapy. Jesus replacement therapy. He says, instead of ashes, I want to give you beauty. Instead of mourning, I want to give you joy. Instead of despair, I want to give you praise. How awesome is that? So God wants, his replacement therapy is, so if you've got one of those things, if you're mourning, if you're ashen, if you're in despair, he wants to replace it with something. And when you get around God and around his word and around his people, replacement starts to take place. I don't know about you, but often I arrive at church with like, oh, here we go. It's like, you know, maybe not as up as I could be, should be, would be. But by the time I'm finished church, because I'm hanging around you guys, by the end of it, I'm like, give me more. This is awesome. It's great. Come on, bring on Monday. Come Tuesday, I'm like, oh, I think I need to get back to around those people again. It's that when you're around God, around his spirit, replacement starts to take place. So if you need replacement therapy tonight, you've come to the right place. We were starting singing before, it was great. Okay, let's go back to verse 1. He says, he has sent me to bind up the broken heart, to proclaim freedom for captives, release from darkness for the prisoners. So there's two types of freedom. He wants to set the prisoners free, and he wants to set the captives free. Two different types of freedom. I'm going to lay this as a foundation before we get into these other four points. Okay, here's the deal. When you're in prison, imagine this grate is the prison. You're either in prison or you're out of prison. When God sets you free, he wants to set people free from certain prisons. Captivity is a whole other thing. Imagine this whole stage as the land of captivity. When the Israelites were taken captive, they weren't in prison. They were out of their land. They were in a land of captivity. So the journey out of that land was a long journey. To come out of captivity is a slow thing. It's a gradual mindset thing. We're shifting the way you think, shifting, and it takes time. Whereas prison, one day you're in, then maybe the next minute you're out. You're in debt. God delivers you from debt. The power of God, a miracle takes place. Pff, bang, I'm out. But how many people do you know? I know many people as a pastor who have been delivered from debt miraculously, but are still in the land of captivity of bad use of finance. So within a month or two or 6 months or a year, they're back in debt again and need to be delivered again. So freedom is two things at once. God wants to set you free from your prison, yes, healing, but he also wants to set you free from captivity. He wants you in a healthy lifestyle. And if you've got both happening at the same time, so being set free from prison is the power of God. Set free from captivity is process. This is fast. This is slow. This is God doing it. This is you doing it. It's a partnership. Both things are freedom. Every bit of freedom from whatever it is always a partnership. God and you. God and you. God will not do what he's asking you to do. And you are not able to do what only he can do. You can't do the miraculous. It's impossible. You're not wired that way. I just threw my pen away. Thanks, Joe. But you can change your mind. You can change your thinking. You can change your lifestyle. In fact, he won't do those things. God will not overnight, while you're asleep, rearrange your thinking, rearrange your lifestyle. He wants you to get up the following morning and begin to change things. That is part of the answer to your freedom. Why am I saying this? It's because part of the reason people experience anxiety and one of the processes of healing of anxiety is a shift of lifestyle. And if you do certain things differently, you'll be more likely to be healthy, free, and full of peace. Who's with me so far? Okay, so that's the deal right there. That's the deal. Okay, now I'm going to give you, in the next few minutes, four ships that I want you to get on board on. Four ships that I want you to get on board with. Number one, sonship. Sonship. In Romans, it says, the Spirit you received does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. By him we cry, Abba, Father. How awesome is that? One of the greatest things to set you free from fear and anxiety is the knowledge that the greatest dad in the universe is on your side. When you go to school and you say, my dad is bigger than your dad, you can actually say that with confidence and strength. We have the biggest dad in heaven. One of the greatest things you can cry out to God with and for and from is this, Dad! You have Dad, the maker of heaven and earth, as your father. And isn't it great that the scriptures tell us what we don't have? We have not been given a spirit of fear, but we have been given the spirit of sons and daughters in God. It is the most natural thing. If you want strength, assurance, security, knowing that God, the Father, Dad, is on your side. I cannot tell you how many times that's got me through stressful moments, knowing that my Father in heaven is like looking after me. And I can't understand how he's going to arrange this thing around, but I know that God is for me. Sonship. Too many believers are believers, not kids. They are just believing. They believe doctrine. They believe theology. They believe faith. Those things. They believe in things. But it's not just that. It's who you belong to that's going to give you your security. I belong to the greatest power in the universe. I belong to him. He's looking after me. Who would like him to look after them? Anyone? And so there's now this script. Just go to the next verse, guys. It just gets better. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we're God's children. That's awesome. Verse 17. Now, if we are children, then we're heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. If indeed we share in his sufferings, or that we also share in his glory. The next verse. I consider that present sufferings, check this out, are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. It's what you know that does make a difference. The next verse that I've got lined there. For the creation waits in eager expectation for the children of God to be revealed. Here's the deal. The creation itself is waiting for your sonship to be revealed. We need to live out a relationship and connection with God the Father so that the world can see and have released in it the glory of God. We carry the glory of God on our lives. It isn't just about us overcoming our anxiety. It's about us showing who God is by the way we live. That's pretty awesome. That is pretty awesome. And then there's other verses. This, you know, I said to the Saturday night crew, don't get me started about Romans 8. Romans 8 is some of the greatest. Oh, you want to get excited? You want to get motivated? You want to get confident? You want to get overcome your anxiety? Read Romans 8. Suddenly perspective, like Jake was saying, it's all about view. If your view is just your problem, lift up your eyes and see what this deal is. My goodness, read Romans 8. It's your homework this week. Because people come for counseling with awesome pastors, and it's great. We encourage them and tell you the greatest counselor is the Holy Spirit through the Word of God anyway. Read what the Scriptures say about you. Not about me, about you. Because another verse goes on. Only over the next 26. I jumped a few verses. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We don't know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. I love that. Wordless groans. Who's ever prayed like that? I pray that. That translates. God the Father knows your groans. I know when my kids have a certain noise, I know there's a noise that you hear your kids, oh, that's someone, that's a certain kid, and that's that groan, what have you. God knows. You don't have to express these literate prayers like, Lord, specifically, he knows. Just let your spirit begin to pray. To who? Dad. I'm telling you, it will break anxiety off your life. And then, what's the next verse? And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him. That's great. And the next one I've chosen. What then should we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? How awesome is that? The next verse. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I'm convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor demons, neither the present, nor the future, nor any powers, neither height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. Now, wonder you need to read Romans 8. Now, I'm excited. Where did all that come from? Romans 8. The second ship is friendship. Sonship, friendship. You will overcome your fears and anxieties with friends. Friends who just come alongside. Check out this psalm. I love this. It says, anxiety weighs down the heart, but a kind word cheers it up. And the New King James says, the next version, anxiety in the heart of man causes depression, but a good word makes it glad. Where's a good word come from? Where's the cheerful word come from? Friends. Friends. Everybody thank God for their friends, right? All you need is a friend who comes alongside and says, it's going to be okay. We need church. Listen to me. We need to be constantly encouraging one another. We need to be constantly aware of other people's anxieties and relieve them from their anxiety. Do you realize you as a friend can change a person's life? Often suicide is friendlessness. Suicide is someone who feels so alone and there's no options, but you as a friend can go, you know what? It's all okay. Sometimes that's all you need to hear. We had some tragic news this week. Just a few days ago, I got a phone call from our pastors in New Zealand, and two of our pastors in Queenstown, New Zealand, lost their little baby 3-year-old girl to a tragic drowning accident. Horrible. The worst news I'd had in a long time. And for a parent, there's nothing more horrific than that fear. Of course, massive anxiety and massive fear that goes with that sort of experience. But you know what? I spoke to them, this couple, on Friday night and called them and had a long chat to them. And as devastated as they were, they said, Mark, you got to understand, people have surrounded us. Pastors have flown in from all over the country, supporting them, loving them, praying with them, standing with them. I'm telling you, they would not have made it if friends had not stood with them. We need friends. When we're in our most anxious moments, friends. Friendship is a powerful thing. Number three, it's fellowship. Not fellowship with each other, that's good too, but fellowship with the Holy Spirit. Can I just say this, guys? If you learn to fellowship with the Holy Spirit in your most anxious moments, in the middle of an anxious moment, learn immediately to enter in to fellowship with the Holy Spirit. However that works for you. For me, depending on the circumstance or the context I'm in, I may do it different ways. I remember as a young social worker and working for the government years and years ago, and I'd be in these very, very tough, stressful situations where terrible decisions had to be made and had to work with some very tough situations and other professionals who weren't agreeing because you only come from a different worldview when you're a believer. And I remember many, many times under my breath into those stressful situations, I just fellowship with the Holy Spirit. Just in my breath, just quietly, not out loud, nothing weird, but just under my breath. Just you're praying down. You're praying deep. You're fellowshipping with God. And in my spirit, I can hear my own voice. And this is what it sounds like. Father, Father, God, 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 God. And I'll be crying out, God, give me wisdom, give me wisdom, give me wisdom, wisdom. God, give me peace, strength. Humble myself right now. Humble myself right now. I humble myself. God, help me. Fellowship. The fellowship of the Holy Spirit is available to you every day, all day. And suddenly a situation will turn around. At least you'd feel a sense that God is with you, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. The similar thing happened to Paul and Silas, a lot worse than anything I've ever experienced. They went and preached the gospel in the city, and guess what? They arrested them, flogged them, and threw them in a jail. Now, that's never happened to me. That would be very stressful. Forget needles. How about these rods? Beat their back with rods. Not just whips, rods. Apparently, the beatings were so severe that their inner organs were exposed. This isn't some little thingamajiggy on their back. Oh, that hurt. You know, like, no, this was like absolute shredded meat. Like when this is awesome, isn't it? When Paul said this, this is scripture. When Paul said this, basically said to the Corinthian church, don't mess with me. Because I bear on my body the marks of Jesus. He wasn't talking philosophical. He was talking literally. You know those movies where you see where there's people have been tortured and all that? That was Paul from the gospel perspective. So check this out, what he did under pressure in Acts 16. It says the crowd joined the attack against Paul and Silas. The magistrates ordered them to be stripped and beaten with rods. After they'd been severely flogged, they were thrown into prison. The jailer was commanded to guard them carefully. When he received these orders, he put them in the inner cell and fastened their feet in stocks. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. The question is, what would we do in that situation? If I'm honest with myself, I don't think I would be doing that. Maybe I would. Maybe under the pressure that would come out. I hope that I would. But isn't it amazing how much fear of life, stress related to all the things that could happen from that point. But what do? They sing hymns and start praying to God. They fellowship with the Holy Spirit. That's awesome. So what prison are you in right now? Because when you get into anxiety, and I've had anxiety, I've had severe anxiety. When you get into anxiety or fear, trust me, I know what it feels like. You feel like you're in prison. You feel like you can't get out. One of the greatest ways out is to sing and fellowship with the Holy Spirit. And as you just begin to do it, and life and peace can begin to come upon your life. And check it out, it goes, suddenly. I love that. Years ago, I did a word study on the word suddenly in the book of Acts. There are seven suddenlies in the book of Acts. God is a God of the suddenly. There's a whole message that I preach on this, that God takes a long time to move suddenly. But as we do what we know, we feel like nothing's happening. Paul and Silas, I'm sure they weren't singing and praising for a minute and that happened. They may even sing him praising for quite a while. Then the suddenly comes, because God is preparing your suddenly after a while of obedience. And so suddenly there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. Do you know that when God does freedom, he doesn't just shake the prison, he shakes the foundation of the prison. He goes to the core of the issue. And that's the great thing about God, shaking the foundation of the prison. And all at once, the prison doors flew open and everyone's chains. Everybody say everyone. I love this. Everyone's chains came loose. When you get set free, other people get set free. When people see you experience freedom, others go, I can get free as well. It puts hope in them. We need to be free so others can be free, which is awesome. I love this scripture in Philippians, my favorite passage of scripture in the New Testament, one of them at least. Rejoice in the Lord always. And Paul said, I will say it again, rejoice. You know why I say it twice? Because we find this hard. Rejoice. And it's a command. It's not like, oh, if you feel like it, rejoice. It just says rejoice. It's the greatest choice there is, the choice to rejoice. And I remember years ago, Pastor Phil used to preach this message a lot. And he'd quote the scripture from the Old Testament saying, leap for joy. And he'd say, joy is about there. And if you leap for it, you'll find it. And as you jump up, you know, it's about there. If you jump up, you get into joy. Yeah. Enjoy, out of joy. Enjoy, out of joy. If I keep leaping, you remember that, Em? It's like, I'm sure as a kid, you remember that. And it was fun. But the thing is, you can't move and not get happy. There's something about leaping and moving. One of the greatest things. Isn't it interesting that depression and anxiety is both still and quiet? But joy is loud and active. When you're happy, you know, like, when you're happy, it's not like, I'm really happy. When you're happy, you're like, let's go do something. Let's go have something. So here's the deal. Move. Movement. Rejoice. When you get up in the morning, and I, you know, most often morning is tough, you know, just start dancing around. I say to people, don't start your day with prayer. Start it with praise. Because if you start your day with prayer, you might pray some bad prayers. Because often we start the day with depression. We're like, and you start your day with too many lamentations. And I'm not talking about lamingtons. I'm talking about lamentations. Just start your day with a bit of praise, because praise will give you the mindset of God, and then you enter into prayer. They sung hymns and prayed. Sung hymns and prayed. Awesome. So then it goes on. Let your gentleness be evident. That's awesome. Great. Do not be anxious. It is important that your gentleness be evident to all. Do not be anxious about anything. You've got to be kidding me. Do not be anxious about anything. I spoke to Andrew Tyndale this morning after the service. He said, what I love about that scripture, there's a great point. He said, if the Bible says to be anxious about anything, the Bible would not say anything that we're not capable of doing. I thought, what a great point. If the Bible says we can do it, then we can do it. So say this after me. I will not be anxious about anything. However, now gives you the answers of how to do that. But in every situation, say in. By prayer and petition, say by. With thanksgiving, say with. So the three key words are in, by, with. In, by, with. In the situation, by prayer, with thanksgiving. It's the combination of the three. It's in the moment. Don't let anxiety and fear get a hold of you. Don't let the fear take root in your life and then later be trying to get out of it. In the moment, when you're most fearful, as the thing is all on you and around you and surrounding you, in that moment, go, God, I trust you. And I thank you, Lord, that you're going to help me out of this situation right now. Immediately learn the practice of immediate prayer, of immediate thanksgiving, of immediate engagement in prayer, of immediate connection with the Holy Spirit. It's awesome, man. Awesome.
Yeah, give the Lord a hand right now. Awesome.
Good job, guys, of highlighting the words. That was cool. I like that. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding. I love transcend. You know, the Eastern, you know, meditation thing, transcendental meditation. It transcends, you know, this, as you do your alms. But prayer with Christ, and you get breakthrough. It transcends. So the option is this. Proverbs 3:5 says this. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. So you got a choice. I can trust or I can attempt to understand. Understanding, the attempt to understand, is the antithesis of peace. The moment you try to push into too much understanding, you will lose peace. The human frame, that it's natural, by the way, we try, how do I understand? What's going on here? How do I understand? And it's the whys and the hows and the whats. We keep doing that. But the Christianity is about trust. I believe that trust is not talked about enough. We talk a lot about faith. I believe we need to talk about trust. Trust. As we trust in Him, then the peace of God that transcends our need, that's what it's saying, is it transcends our need to understand, which is awesome. Fellowship with the Holy Spirit. Oh my goodness, time is up. And the last one is internship. Sonship, friendship, fellowship with the Holy Spirit, internship. Internship is the effect and influence of others, particularly in leadership in our lives. Sometimes we need someone with strength who's above us, like Paul with Timothy. Paul said to Timothy in Timothy 2:7, Timothy, and it was firm. The instruction from Paul to Timothy was never wimpy. It was always very firm, but good. Because Timothy took over the leadership of a church of around 30, somewhere between 30 and 60,000 people. And he was a young guy. And he was regularly timid, fearful, and possibly anxious personality. So his leader, Paul, kept keeping him on the straight and narrow. And he said to Timothy with very firm, Timothy, God has not given you a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power, love, and of a sound mind. Isn't it interesting that fear counteracts those three things? It disempowers you. It robs you of love and makes you go crazy. That's what fear does. But God has given us a spirit of power, love, and sound thinking. That's the spirit. So sometimes we need leaders to get with us, connect leaders, pastors, mature believers in Christ to get with us and say, but come on, don't succumb to that. To be led into freedom. People, and I need it. Pastor Phil's great for me this way. As I said earlier, I've had fear of public speaking and preaching and so on. As a young minister, he'd say, Mark, come on. Can do this. And if I was struggling with something, maybe a fear of something, he'd get me and sort of hit me really hard. And that's Pastor Phil, only he can do, you know, and give you a hug. And come on, a manly strength and leadership. It's like, come on, because that's what we need sometimes. So if you've got someone in your life like that, let them do that to you. Let them in a godly, loving way slap you around and say, come on, you don't have to succumb to that. God has not given you that thing. That thing that you're yielding to right now doesn't have to be the case. Freedom is your option in life. Amen? Come on, give the Lord a hand.
Thanks for listening to the C3 Church podcast. Visit us online at myc3church.net. Join us next time for more great teaching.